Okay, shall we do the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands,
So Kathy, can you, I think, all right. So can we do a roll call?
Bill Cover?
Present.
Jeff Jones?
Present.
Chris Sutter?
Right here.
Tom Daschner?
Present.
Sharon Tobias?
Present.
And Dan Crosby and Andy Rich are absent. Also with us is our legal counsel, Andrew Ramos, our general manager, Tyler Mayo, our committee, Craig Lutz, myself, office administrator, Kathy Powell, and our customer service representative, Annalise Gill.
Welcome to everybody. Thank you so much for being here. It's nice to meet you, Annalise. One day we'll see you in person.
Yeah.
So the first item is the public comment. If there's any shareholder in attendance who'd like to ask a question or make a statement, that's not on the agenda. So, okay, hearing none, I'm going to move on to the consent calendar. And these items are expected to be routine and can be enacted upon by one motion. So the draft financials will remain draft until we get a final audit. So we're going to come back to them in a couple of months anyway. So do I hear a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I'll make a motion we accept the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Who's the second?
Jeff or Bruce? Thank
you. It was a tie.
I'll put both. No.
Okay. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Bill, did you vote?
I said aye. Aye.
Okay. I couldn't hear you. So.
Sorry.
That's okay. I think everybody talked at the same time. So, so the motion carries.
I think I'm a little slow today.
It's okay.
Okay. So for my general manager's report, as I just heard, I'm supposed to announce that our finalized budget from FY 2024 is now available to the public. So it will be sent to Craig and
go out with the first billing.
Okay, and it'll go out with the first billing. Thank you. In December, we had hired the two open positions we had at Blue Lake Springs, which was great because we were concerned how long that might take. We did get our new customer service rep, Annalisa Gill. And then we hired our distribution slash treatment operator, Wesley Bertolino. Both of them have been working out extremely well. I'm happy to have them here and have a full team again. So that's I feel a great step for the company. Our annual usage, we were able to find that after December's usage. It was 36,214,000 gallons for the year, and that is a 10-year low. So that's wonderful, being that we were only in drought stage two for a very short period of time last year, and then we moved to drought stage one, and the community still made their cutbacks, as well as, I'm guessing, our system being brand new. That helped. It's nice to see, though, we are on some of the lowest usage ever. And by having some of the lower usage, our well levels for well 3 and 4 are up a few feet more than they were at the same time last year. We were delayed on moving to using CCW deep water over on the tank 6 side because of TTH MHA 5s. We didn't want to have an issue with the old water that was in that pipe being sent over. So we delayed about a month before we started using their water. So that should really start seeing the well levels rise up. And you'll see, if you look at the charts in your handout, you'll see how the usage is going more toward CCWD usage over our wells. Then we have a few pictures. We finished our A1C project, or we called it as well the cross-country pipeline, the new pipe from Snowflake Drive up to Del Rio Court. So we have just one set.
Was this one of those projects we've been trying to get done all kind of all year?
Yep. This one is about 450 linear feet of pipe that is the main transmission line from the treatment plant up to tank 6. It was the last 400 feet of pipe that was old in that section. So now from the treatment plant all the way to tank 6 is new C900 pipe, varying from 8-inch to 6-inch. So this is the connection point. Just a quick picture. It's hard to see the dresser in the middle there, just past the blue pipe where the connection was made. They were already starting to put dirt in there by the time I was able to get a picture. So this is that same point and the trench going up from Snowflake Drive towards Del Rio Court. And here's the pipe that was installed with tracer wire on it. The old pipe did not have tracer wire. So it was more of, I knew where it was from when we dug it up when it broke. Now I can use our equipment and locate that pipe directly where that wire is. So big upgrade. More of the pipe laid in the trench. This was an end of a day where we bagged the pipe at the end of the day, make sure no dirt or animals went down it overnight as we were away. So here's just a picture of that. We remove that bag when we come back in the morning, and here's the ditch going up the hill. It's right on the edge of Blue Lake Springs and what they call Old Moran. You'd be taking Old Moran to go up to Big Tree State Park, right near where our entrance sign is as you come into Blue Lakes. You take a left right there, and this kind of follows those property lines. Another picture of it in that same area. This is getting toward the top as they were what we call shading the pipe. They were adding the dirt around the pipe, and we hand pack it and make sure there's good fill underneath it to support the pipe. And then after they get about a foot of dirt over the top of it, then we whack it in. This is getting toward the top where we have to do an MJ restraint, a 22.5 to deflect the pipe going up a steep embankment. And then this is the very top where it is connected into Del Rio. You can see the blue valve in the ground. That's where it's made the connection. And there's a double 90 that's in there that brought it down to grade to that valve. So it was a very good project. I think everything worked out so far. No leaks. And, yeah, I feel that it should be good for the next 40 or 50 years, we hope.
I'd like to make a positive comment. I go by there 2 to 3 times a day, that intersection, and I observe Tyler and the crew work, and they were so efficient. I tell you, they get a 10 plus.
Thank you, John. Yeah, John came by. Bill, he drove by once and stopped and talked with me for a moment. And then Sharon actually came up there. This we were doing right before the dinner, before the dinner on the, was it the 1st or the 5th there? Yeah, so that.
I didn't know that.
The, and then we had on Friday last week, we had a car hit a hydrant up on the top of Spring Valley and Greensboro. Here's the hydrant. When he hit it, it broke off down. Luckily,
we don't see it.
Yeah, I lost the video.
I had to
the share screen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There you go.
Okay, so here's a picture of the hydrant that got hit. It broke off just down below where you can see the black below the hydrant. And luckily, that's where it broke. So we could just shut off the valve to the hydrant. There were, I would say, a few hundred people out of water. Luckily, we only got about 4 phone calls. And that's what kind of got me traveling out there, was because of no water calls. And on my way out there, I drove by and found the person who had hit this. And that was why the pipe was draining and nobody was having any water. So as soon as I shut off the valve to this hydrant, everybody gained water back. And then we just bled the air off up on top by the tank 6 area. In the spring, or possibly once the snow melts enough and we have a dry spell, we'll go ahead and put this hydrant back in. We do have to pour a cement kicker behind it. And then we have some heavy duty well casing pipe that we're going to put on the uphill side of it. So if anybody slides into it again, they're going to hit those posts and not take out the hydrant again. Since I've worked here, this hydrant's been hit probably 3 times. So I'd like to solve this problem and not have this hydrant getting hit anymore. You can actually see there's the snow state with a cement ball on the bottom of it. You can see where it's been hit numerous times. The paint is missing off the bottom of it, and where it's bent over, it's been bent 2 or 3 times. So we just bent it back up and put it back in place. So this will be another repair we'll be doing here either in the spring, or if we have a good week here in the winter where there's no snow, we'll do it at that point.
Do we have a claim against the driver's insurance for a damage caused?
We do not. So typically, Blue Lakes has never gone after tree guys that have broken the line, driver that has hit a hydrant. It was an accident. You don't typically go after their insurance. So for us, the hydrant itself is going to be put back in. So the cost to us is going to be the well casing that we already had and some bags of cement. So beyond the guy's hourly pay, there isn't a cost to us. That same hydrant is going to get reused.
How much damage was done to the car? I'm just curious.
The hydrant went underneath his car and tore his transmission out of his car. Yeah, okay. So quite a bit of damage to his car.
So hitting a well casing would be better than hitting the hydrant.
Yeah, if he hit the well pipe, it would be very solid. bury the well pipe about 4 feet deep, then we run rebar down the center of the well pipe and fill pipe full of cement. So a metal and cement pillar that's sitting there that's buried very deep. So, we have them out at the wells to protect the wells, because people go down there and want to do donuts and spin around down at the ball field by White Pines. And we ended up putting barriers around that, and numerous people have hit those barriers since I've worked here as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. That's all I have this month for the general manager's report.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. No, I don't. I left a sheet in there. We did purchase the new truck. Sunday, I went down to the valley to go pick up the new Toyota Tacoma. So we did make that purchase. And we'll be moving the GMC, which is our plow truck, to strictly a plow truck, because it's getting fairly old and we'd like to have it last another 10 or 15 years being a plow truck. It also will be used for towing the mini excavator and our dump bed trailer.
Thank you, Tyler. Andrew, did we need Tyler to talk about the final budget, or was that addressed when he started his general manager's report?
Sure, and I thought that was addressed appropriately by his introductory comments, okay. Noting that it was available now. Yes.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Tyler. Yep. All right, Kathy.
Okay, so our sick leave policy for the company and the employee handbook just needs to be updated to reflect state law. So before we would just, employees could start accruing sick leave when they were full-time and after their probationary period, but new law is that they need to be paid after 30 days of employment and 1 hour every 20 hours worked, sorry, 1 hour for every 20 hours worked. So like Annalise is part-time, so she'll make 4 hours a month after her 30-day probationary period. So,
and then 20 a week. Oh, sorry. Or,
yeah, 4 hours a month. Yeah. What? So we just needed to update what state law says we need to be paying our employees for sick leave. And so I put in red what we need to delete, and then red what we need to add. And we had Andrew go over this as well to make sure that everything looked good.
Yes, as Kathy said, my office reviewed it and agreed with these changes, and they were consistent with the changes in state law that were enacted a couple weeks ago.
And not a problem, but aren't we a little more generous than state law? I thought state law said 1 hour for every 30 hours worked.
It does, but the rest of the employees get 8 hours of sick leave a month as full-time employees. So we get 1 hour every 20 hours worked. So just in keeping what was already in our employee handbook, we just went with the same number.
Dividing down and moving down the same hours that everybody else is offered. So because we receive 8 hours per month.
Just to kind of keep it uniform.
If you're a part-time or half-time, you'd be receiving 4 hours per month. So just to keep it in line with what everybody else is receiving, that's the direction that we put this. If you would like that to be changed, we can go ahead and talk about that.
No, I'm fine with this. I just wanted to point out that it's slightly more beneficial to the employees than state law requires.
Okay.
So I guess that's a board decision.
Well, and then that's another one we needed to ask with Andrew, I guess. Is this something that we need to do a discussion, possible action, because it is the employee handbook that this is going into? Are we going to need to vote on this?
Tyler, the answer is yes. So for good governance purposes, whenever we're modifying any type of staff compensation or benefits, we always run it through the board of directors for approval, just to make sure that they're having an opportunity to do their job to watch the water companies talk about. Yes.
So it's on the agenda to make a motion and approve today.
Agree.
So do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I can second.
I'm sorry,
who's the second?
Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce.
Is there any discussion? All right, so let's do a roll call vote, Kathy.
Bill Cover.
Yes.
Jeff Jones.
Yes.
Bruce Sutter.
Yes.
Don Daschner.
Yes.
Karen Tobias.
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome. Thank you. Sorry.
It's okay. All right. So I know everyone's excited that we're going to have another election this year. and this year we have three people up for the election, Bruce Utter, Jeff Jones, and John Daschner. And I haven't reached out to any of you, or but I'm hoping you're all considering running, or you're all definitely running for this year. And so I could put you on the spot now, but I'm trying to be kind.
I'm going to take a pass. I don't plan to run again.
Okay. Jeff, you were going to say something?
I'm considering.
Great. What about you, John?
Are you going to run again? Pardon? Are you going to run again?
Yes, I'll run again. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Just so everybody knows, this year there'll be 1 2-year term and 2 3-year terms. So Bruce, if you just want to serve a 2-year term, that's a possibility. So just to consider it.
All right. I'll keep an open mind.
Yeah. Keep an open mind. We, you know, I hate to see you go. So, so we need an elections chair, and my understanding is it really can't be anybody who's up for election. So that would leave, Bill Cover, Andy Rich, myself, and Dan Crosby. So 2 out of 4 aren't here, so I hate to make one of them do it since they're not here.
I'll volunteer.
Bill, thank you. Right. I think Jeff said it's the easiest thing to do. So
yeah, I did. I think I did it once before.
I think you did too. So, all right, thank you. So you'll be receiving the nominations and then reporting at the what the vote is at the annual meeting. Is that anything else I'm missing, Kathy and Tyler?
That's perfect.
No, that's it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who's been serving and who's running again and considering running again and thinks they don't want to run again, but they really do. So, you know, thank you to everyone. You know, there's wine out there I can make available to you, or scotch or something. So, all right. So the next item is, having an in-person meeting. I really enjoyed seeing everybody at the dinner on December 1st. It was so nice to see people in person. And I know we weren't doing business, but I think I just haven't seen people in person in 3 years. So I was hoping that one meeting this year we could do, and it doesn't have to be March or May, but we could set up where it's primarily an in-person meeting. And I don't want to make people, I mean, if my first guess is March, because it's our next meeting. And of course, if the weather is horrific, you know, I wouldn't expect people to come to the office, and so we could still meet over Zoom. But I wanted to just get an idea who could attend a March meeting in person.
I'm up for attending in person. I planned on being there today, but I couldn't get down the driveway.
Yes. Yeah. Same with me. If you know, weather permitting, I'll be there.
Okay. And then Bill and John.
I'm up here year round. So
you're up there year round. Okay.
John.
So, how about John?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so why don't we shoot for a March in-person meeting? Hopefully it works for Dan and Andy. We can touch base with them and see what will work for them. Otherwise, if it doesn't work for them, we could always do have everybody send in the date that does work for them and see how many we get. But it looks like we'd have at least 5 at that meeting if the weather permits. So that would be great. Did everyone enjoy the dinner?
Wonderful.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. It was nice to meet Tim. So, right? That is his name. Yes, Tim. I keep writing down names and they keep leaving. So, but yeah, it was nice meeting everybody's spouses. And I'm sorry that Vince and Kathy was unable to attend. But next year, this year, we'll get everybody there. So thank you again to Tyler and Kathy for setting up a great dinner and great night.
Thank you for taking it over, Sharon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, taking little numbers to defeat.
So. Yes, you did. Did you want to send an email to Dan and Andy asking him about a march in person, or do you want me to?
I will do that, okay? I'll send it out. Perfect. Thank you. I can't maybe do something, you know, to earn my keep, so. All right. Kathy, the call for candidates.
The call for candidates. So usually we just send the call for candidates to our billing company, and they include an extra handout when they mail out the bills. But we don't know how many people actually read them, so we were curious how the board felt, whether we should mail all the shareholders a call for candidate, or if we should just put it in the billing, or should we do a hybrid and mail to some. We talked about it, and about 550 of our shareholders get email bills. So we were talking about sending them their own personal bill in the mail, or a call for candidates in the mail, and then having the rest of them go through our billing company, because they'll mail out the statement, so they'll get one with their statement in the mail. So we just wanted to know how the rest of the board would like to see the call for candidates go out.
I'm on that. We're on auto pay, and all I get an email notification that, you know, the bill is due and that it's been paid, and I pay zero attention to it. You know, I see that it's there and see that it's done. So I don't know how many other people pay attention to, you know, the computer bill, the email bill, but the expense to do a mailing, I'm dubious about that too. So I have mixed feelings.
So the mailing that we include with the mail bills is only a couple hundred dollars to include it with the ones that get mailed. And if we only had 500 of the people like yourself, Jeff, that receive an email bill that we had to mail out, we're lowering that cost substantially. I think it's around $1,200 to send to everybody. And so we're cutting that down to almost a quarter. So it would be about, I'm going to guesstimate around $400 for us to mail out for those 500 other customers. So that way everybody at least receives a piece of paper asking for candidates.
I think $1,200 is not a lot of money for sending out call for candidates. So I think we should send it separate to everyone on the month we don't have a billing cycle. And I think the other thing we should do is put up some posters to remind people, like at Big Trees and maybe at the post office if they'll let you. Maybe something at the homeowners. So if we're going to have three people running, we're going to need, and if people aren't going to run for re-election, I think we need to have more visibility.
Okay.
I agree with Bill. I was going to say the same thing.
That's why I interrupted you, Craig. So I wanted to say it first.
And we put it
anyway. I wouldn't pinch pennies on this.
So send it separately in its own envelope, separate from the billing.
In a different month.
Got it. Okay.
So they don't get it the same week.
I can do that.
Is there a way we could include Bill's treasurer's letter and the budget in that same mailing?
I have the budget already, so I just need Bill's treasurer's letter.
All right. When do you need that, Bob?
Can you get it to me by the beginning of February?
Yeah, I can come by next week and I'll bring the old letter and we just rewrite it like we did last year. Yeah.
That sounds-
Bill, Bill, if you want me to take a look at it, just since I'm involved in the finance stuff, I'm happy to, but you know, I don't feel like I need to, so I'll leave that up to you.
Yeah, I'll send you a copy before we send it out for your comments.
Point of information, do we need a motion to send out the ballot at all?
What do you mean by?
We agreed that a consensus was taken more or less that we would send a ballot out there. Do we need a motion?
To vote on having the call for candidates sent out in the mail. And I have it on here to do so.
Right, but I guess the question is, should we just formally vote on it?
Yes.
So from my view, I think a vote is totally fine. The bylaws call for this process to occur. They don't specify the manner in which the elections official has to perform his or her job. So, you know, you could view it as just giving some direction to the elections official, but there's certainly nothing wrong with doing a vote to formalize it.
In terms of the call for candidates, do you think it would be a good idea to put a large sign out in front of our property, which you have to drive by past in order to get to the post office, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was thinking to just, we'll put for public notification would be, we could do our board, we do have the post office board, and then they do have a board, a public notice board down at the market as well. We just need to specify that they have to live within our subdivision.
Right.
That way they're not people from Metamont.
What about a sign on Moran, on our, where our sign is on Moran?
Yeah. You can order a sign and post a new sign up there where the big rollout sign is that everybody sees either the entrance there as you're coming in. And then we usually do one on the other entrance over by El Dorado.
Good.
So we can easily make a sign and hang that up. Just let them
remember
know
to vote.
The public to that where we have a call for candidates and that we have availability for new board members. Yeah. Anybody's interested, they could give us a call. Yeah, we'll make a sign up for that.
Okay.
That sounds good.
And I've got a question for, I guess it's for Sharon, but as far as I'm concerned, I think I'm, if you tell me if you agree with me, I think I'm best suited where I am because I'm able to participate in those committees without being a board member. So they're not board meetings and, you know, we can have those, you know, meetings as appropriate and streamlines everything.
I think you can be a board member easily. So.
But then we have too many board members on those committees, and I think this round,
oh, I see.
And then they become board meetings.
I have to go back and look at the
committees. That was kind of the beauty of having it all work out the way it worked out, and then when we broke up those committees, I was able to participate on those as in a non-board member capacity and then allow them to be committee meetings as opposed to board meetings.
Okay. I'm going to look into that. I know at one point I started out where I was on a committee and then, yes, we had to, when I became a board member, somebody had to step down. So, but if that's where you feel most comfortable and,
I'll do whatever whatever you guys think, but that's what I think.
Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, the board does realign the committee memberships, I believe, at the organizational meeting.
Yes, we do.
Election. So there is an opportunity to change the committee memberships to realign with how the board has shaken out after the election.
Yeah, so you're not completely off the hook, Craig.
No, I wasn't suggesting that.
No, thank you. Thank you for bringing
that up. If I become a board member, who are you going to replace me with on those committees? That's the question.
Yeah, that would be
right.
And allow them to function as committees and not board meetings.
Right, right. That's definitely something to think about. And I will get back to you, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So do we want to make a motion about the call for candidates or just direct Bill and our elections chair and the staff to do what we want them to do for the election?
Sharon, I think a motion is probably a good idea, given that there's an expenditure of funds in executing the plan. I think a motion makes good sense.
Would someone make that motion?
I'll make a motion that there are all those things.
Be sending in in a non-billing month. We'll do a mailer. We are going to, as well, do public notification through around the town, as well as our entrance boards. We could also, we have a little box at the top of the HOA there. We can get it there, although there isn't very many people going to the pool right now, so you're really not going to get a whole lot of traffic by that board. But we can do our public notification, as well as do a mailer on a non-billing month. I think that's where we're at right now.
I'll second Bill's motion.
Okay. Thank you, Bill and John, and thank you to Tyler for summarizing that. Summarizing the motion. So, Kathy, can we do a roll call vote, please?
Bill Cover.
In favor. Can you see my little thumbs up thing down there?
Yes.
All right. Just that's my vote.
Sorry, I was looking at my paper.
It's real cute.
I'm very clever today.
All right.
Can't get it to go away.
Jeff Jones.
Yes.
Bruce Sutter.
Yes.
John Dashner.
Yes.
And Sharon Wyatt.
Yes. Okay. You guys make me laugh. All right, so that motion carries. Thank you, everyone. All right, Kathy.
Okay, so we build out the number 6 billing for 2023. It went out the week before Christmas. The regular billing amount is $266,061. That's the base rate and the USDA loan repayment. Metered water, extra metered water was $2,519.
You want to just jump to the next slot, or?
Except for I don't have anything going.
I thought I had it on the in the packet.
No, I didn't. Look at number 5.
Okay. No, but I thought there was a slide with the tables. Yeah.
I did have one lien paid off this month. Annalise sent out delinquent letters for us, and about half of those have paid. And I was going through that list yesterday. We have about 17 30-day notices that we need to send out, but... It's been a little bit quiet, but it's also been the holidays, so we'll get on it and everything will get back to normal. And that's about it. And then reportable board items.
And for the reportable board items, there was just to finalize the budget, send it out, the updated budget to the board of directors. We did that. As well as Andy had asked for the rate structure, and we sent that out to all board members as well, so you guys could see that. So this was the only reportable board item and was completed towards the end of last year.
Yeah. And I don't think I have any new reportable board items. Sharon, you were just going to email Dan and Angie about the in-person, but I don't think we have any others.
Right. And that next meeting would be on March 14th at 2 p.m., right?
Correct.
Right. So, yeah, I will take care of emailing them. That seems really short. Thank you, everyone, for being here today. We don't have anything in executive session, so I'm going to adjourn the meeting so you can stop recording.
Get that real quick. Uh-oh, wait, I got to find it. Sorry.